Hello, Eric. Hello, listen. 500 episodes and we still do it.
I know. It's part of the branding now, Nick.
Well, I'm sure it contributes to hurting everyone's ears and they're like, oh, it's these two.
Yeah. I wish they should know if they've been listening to us before.
Well, that is very true.
Nick, it's time for you to be funny.
I don't know that this is going to be funny, but there is a reason for why I have this joke today. See if you can pick it up.
Righto.
Why did the king go to the dentist?
No.
To get his crown checked.
G'day, I'm Woz.
And I'm Nick, sometimes Coxie, mostly Nick.
This is the Tradies in Business podcast, and we're here to share a bunch of tips, ideas, tactics that you can put in place to get change happening in your trade business right now.
If you're really lucky, we're going to entertain you with a few mum jokes, and more importantly, a bunch of fantastic guests that will educate you in all things you need to know about trade business, but we do promise to do it with a whole bunch of fun along the way.
I'm a self-confessed idiot, so strap yourself in and enjoy another episode.
Oh, boom. In the chat.
It's a little bit of enthusiasm would have been nice.
I think part of the problem is I'm trying to solve the riddle.
Yes. Why are we talking about a king?
Yeah, and I'm like, what is this all about? And then when you tell me the punchline, it's like, I'm just disappointed with myself that I didn't figure it out because I should be able to figure everything out, apparently.
If you've read the description for today, maybe even the title, you know that we are talking about abdication, hence my thought of having to have a joke about the king. And everybody's still scratching their heads like, what on earth is she on about?
Wow. You're coming in with a segue as well, Coxie.
I know. I'm trying to kick all of the goals. It's been so long since we've had an episode with just you and I. I really wanted to impress all of our listeners that they're stuck around for the whole episode.
With your sparkling sense of humor and just razor sharp segues. I'm just going to go make a coffee.
Oh, I'm feeling
good. I'll see you in 30 minutes, Nick.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
I'm disappointed in myself. And I can imagine all of our listeners have just turned their selected streaming device off thinking, oh, I'm not listening to this for half an hour.
Okay. Well, let's get to the point. Don't abdicate. There you go. That's the point.
Thanks for listening.
Hooray. I don't think a lot of people know the difference between abdication and delegation, especially in business.
It's a hard lesson learned when you do get it wrong.
So, all right, here's a bit of textbook stuff for your listeners. Abdication versus delegation, in case you don't know, and many of you probably do. Delegation is where you hand over ownership of a task or a outcome with a bunch of parameters. There's clarity, there's expectations set, there's good communication. It's a pretty detailed process and it doesn't happen in 2.3 seconds. And it's not based on a whole bunch of unspoken assumptions. So the opposite of that is abdication, where you just say, hey, Nick, catch. And I throw something at you, expecting you to handle it, assuming that you know what you're doing. And generally, at one stage or another, that ends up with frustration, disappointment, blame, missed deadlines, poor quality work, and it can actually break relationships, whether that's employer-employee, whether it's a spousal relationship or business partners. Hey, Nick.
Good thing we're very good at not abdicating, Warwick.
I think we do it occasionally.
Probably. We've learned some hard lessons too, because it can be very tempting. And in fact, something that lots of trade business owners that we talk to say, well, they're a tradesperson, they should know how to do it. But that's assuming that they've been taught the way that you would like them to be taught. And often they're not, or often they don't understand your expectations. So they're not performing to the same expectations as you. And let's not forget that they're employees. So they have a very different understanding of what is required than you do as a business owner with your reputation on the line. Now, it can be, unfortunately, really easy to abdicate rather than delegate. It's much easier just to throw a hot potato and let somebody pick it up than it is to go through a process to ensure that you're going to get the outcome that you desire. And generally where we see it, first and foremost, is with team members. Secondly, it's with other professional services. So if I think about the accountants, how often, Warwick, do we hear, but my accountant didn't tell me that this might happen? You know, I've ended up with a huge tax bill at the end of the financial year, but my accountant didn't warn me. They didn't tell me it was going to happen. Well, did you tell your accountant you were on track to triple your income for the year?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a conversation with them about how you were tracking? That's on you as the business owner, not on the accountant to chase you up and figure out what's in your brain. They don't have a crystal ball. Or marketing is another one that does my head in. How many, and this might make you all pull your heads in, I've done it myself even, jump into the promises offered by an SEO company or a marketing company because they're going to get you all these fantastic results, and you get 6 months down the road and nothing's changed. The phone still isn't ringing, or you're not getting the actual results that you should to turn into fantastic clients. They're only some of the ways that we see abdication happen. We were working with a couple of clients at the moment who are living the dream. They're taking some really big steps in their lives. We've got some clients that are heading away for 6 months. They're going to hitch up the caravan and travel around and enjoy some time away. And then we've got some other clients that are moving away from where their business is and where they work, and they're not taking the business with them. They're leaving the business where it is. And so they're going to be operating their trade business mostly from a distance. So the temptation is really high for both of those business owners to be abdicating to their team. And we're working super hard and being very disciplined, maybe a bit hard-nosed as coaches, as we have to be sometimes, to ensure that there isn't that typical abdication, that we've got systems and structure and checks and balances to ensure that everybody knows what they need to do. We're testing and measuring and ensuring that the roles are being completed as expected. Lists of expectations, lots of meeting, lots of communication to ensure that it just doesn't fall into a heap, which unfortunately happens quite frequently.
Mm. I often get caught up in the why when we look at some of these issues that our members have, our tradiepreneurs and just trade business owners in general. I can get a bit distracted with the why because I'm really hell-bent on understanding why people do things, because as a coach, if I can understand why they're behaving a certain way, then perhaps I can help them shift that by educating them and giving them some insight onto the why, because then we're not acting on the behavior and saying, stop doing that. Mm. That rarely works. And listeners, how often have you said to yourself, I just need to ... or oh, I've just got to do this. Or I've just got to stop doing that. And you don't, because it's rooted deeper than that. It's coming from somewhere else. It's like a tree, you know, grows, or a plant. It grows well or not based on where its roots are buried in the soil and what's in the soil. And it's the soil, it's the foundations that actually create the shape of the plant, how vigorous it is, what sort of health it has. And so your business is like branches of you, because what you're rooted in your beliefs and values, create or grow those structures around you. They grow your relationships. They grow your business and the way you set it up. So if you are one for wanting quick solutions and you're impatient and you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed about everything on your plate, you're likely to make hasty decisions about, well, how can I just get this done? And it goes back to that scenario of, hey, Nick, catch, because I just want to get this thing off my plate. I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I don't believe I can handle everything that I've got going on at the moment. I have this awful sense of needing to rush because I don't have time, not just today or this week, but I don't have time in my life for this shit. And I've got to get it done quickly. Otherwise, I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to get the mortgage paid and I won't be able to take that holiday ever. And next thing, the kids will be 21 and I'll be miserable.
Yeah, I feel miserable just listening to it.
It is. And I believe that a lot of our listeners, and certainly we know a lot of our clients, have this going around and around in their heads and in their hearts on a regular basis. And the crazy thing is that leads to some of these behaviors that don't serve us, like abdicating instead of delegating. Now, it seems like maybe I'm drawing a long bow here, listeners, and human behavior is all based on psychology. And at the heart of it, that's what Coxie and I do as coaches, is try and figure out how you're thinking based on your beliefs and values and shift that thinking so that you do your cash flow forecast, or you take 7 minutes with your senior tradesperson to say, righto, mate, here's the the written job list. Here's how long you've got to get it done. Here's all the contacts. This is what I want you to do. Explain the task, explain the parameters, explain your expectations. This is what good performance looks like. Tell me what you're going to do, mate, so I know we're clear. And he repeats it back to you or she, and that's delegation.
Mm.
And then you check in with them. If it's a 3 or 4 day job, you check in every day. It's like, righto, mate, end of every day, I want you to send me an audio message to tell me how you're going, and we're going to deal with any bushfires as we go. How many of our listeners are probably doing that? And certainly when our tradiepreneurs first come to us and we say, well, that's what delegation looks like, and that's going to save you all this frustration and micromanagement, they look at us like we're speaking Swahili.
Well, it feels hard. It feels like a lot. What you just verbalized sounds like a lot of work, but it's not a lot of work. It's not actually a lot of work. It's far less work than the rework that's required. It's far less expensive and frustrating than something going wrong on the job, and you've 100%. Then got to spend another 2 days back and fixing it. So you've lost on the labor. You've probably had to pay for some more materials or parts. It's far less expensive and onerous than that, yet it feels really hard because we don't know how to do it. We've never done it before. Nobody's taught us how to do it. I think on a really simple level in business, when we're talking about team members, all of this starts with position descriptions. But position descriptions is a tool, Warwick. How often do we see a position description that's parked on a shelf somewhere or metaphorically on someone's computer? Nobody ever looks at it. We don't use it as a tool to teach our team members what their responsibilities are and what we're expecting of their role. Instead, it's just this thing that collects dust, and we might throw it around in conversation from time to time when we're cranky because somebody's made a mistake. In actual fact, we can utilize that position description as a tool for every one of our quarterly reviews. Let's sit down and have a look at how you're performing. Let's look at how we can support you to grow into the next role. Have a look at our organizational chart or our business family tree to see how we can get you from where you are now up to that next step. Let's utilize some of these tools that we have for what they are. Tools rather than dust collectors. And it gives us great opportunity then for our team members to be aligned. They have proper delegation with their tasks. We're constantly teaching them how to delegate by showing and demonstrating good delegation so that your team can be really effective then in the way that they are all working together. The follow-on for this, of course, then is doing the same with the professionals in your life. Have a think about the team that you have around you. It's common. I'm going to call out some marketers, not all marketers. Some marketers are really good at what they do. And I'm kind of speaking quite generalistically today, so forgive me, the good marketers of the world. There's a lot of shady marketers, though. And the shady marketers, they promise the world. They set up some great expectations. They deliver inadvertently on some of those expectations in an almost sneaky way. And then our clientele or our trade business owners that we talk to quite frequently are attracting the wrong kind of clients from the outside area. They're looking for the wrong kind of projects, or they're not delivering on their results at all because we haven't delegated the task efficiently when we take on that professional service. As I said earlier, it also happens with accountants. I'm sure there are other areas in the business that it happens in as well. They're probably the two most frequent that we see, because marketers have done a really good job of selling themselves to us because that's what they do. They're really good at it.
Marketing.
Exactly. But if we don't hold them to account, if we don't set our expectations, if we don't then check in and give feedback on what the performance looks like, nothing's ever going to change. And we just end up settling for some results that are generally subpar.
It's not the marketer's fault, Nick.
No.
It's easy for, if you're listening to this, and sorry, I'll butt it in there, Coxie. It's easy to blame the other party. And that's a great sign that there's abdication happening.
Yeah.
On a task or an area of our business or our life, right? If we start blaming the other party, the external force, for our lack of results or for not getting what we want, that's a pretty good sign that you've abdicated rather than delegated that area.
Good point. No, carry on with your
story. So yeah, don't blame the marketers. They're just doing what they do. Don't blame the multinationals or the big corporates for ripping us off, and don't blame the primary contractor for paying you, you know, 60 days from end of month, and that's ruining your cash flow, and you've abdicated responsibility for that, and you've abdicated control. You've given up control, which is ironic because so many of the business owners we talk to, Nick, either claim to be or demonstrate the fact that they're control freaks. You know, they love to be in control, but they keep just handballing control to other people and then consistently being disappointed, frustrated, and let down and feeling like they don't know how to get ahead. And I think a big part of it starts with taking back control of the task, even though I'm getting somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
And not looking for this quick and easy solution, because there just aren't any in life. There is no quick and easy solution.
Sadly not. If it looks too good to be true, it definitely is.
Not to any problem worth really solving. There's some quick, easy solutions to small problems. But if you want your business to work for you, if you want to get off the tools in some fashion, if you want to make some more money, if you want the freedom to spend time with your family, that's a pretty cool problem to solve.
Mm.
It's going to take some work from you. And it doesn't look like hours of work. It doesn't look like spending shitloads of money on fancy SEO subscriptions or anything like that. It actually looks like you doing some of the lesser known and perhaps the difficult work of thinking differently, educating yourself, being open to feedback and a bit of a kick in the backside from people like Coxie and I, and doing that hard work, which is actually, when you look back on it, not that hard. We have some of our tradiepreneurs say to us, almost exasperated, Nick, when we do our sessions with them, they're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of this? I can't believe it took me so long to do this. It's not that hard.
Warwick, you brought up getting off the tools. I think we should tell everyone about the fact we're heading to Melbourne. We are
going to
do our first live and in-person non-client event for, gosh, since the world tour, a couple of years.
Time.
It's been a long time. Yeah. We're harking back to Melbourne to do a get off the tools workshop in person, live and in person. You and 14 other business owners will get to spend an afternoon with Warwick and I from 1 till 3. We're heading over to the good old, what do they call it? The Paco.
The Paco. On the north side, the Pasco Vale Hotel. It's nice and easy to get to for most Melburnians.
It's
away from the city. Easy parking, which is an unheard of in Sydney and Melbourne. So we like to go a little bit in the outer burbs, and we go to the Paco Vale. They always look after us there. It's a pretty good venue.
Yeah, we've had some great meals there. We've had some good times. We've gotten to know a few of the locals.
I think there's a guy that is at the same chair with the same beer every time we go back.
And we're generally there for about 10 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, that's
the very
scary
first
part.
Time we went and stood at the front of the wrong door in the pouring rain in the middle of winter. It was so cold. We stood there for about half an hour before we realized it had been open for hours and we were just at the wrong door. It was hilarious. Yeah. But yes.
That was really hilarious, Nick.
If you would like to join us at the Paco, and you can get yourself to the Paco on Thursday the 30th of May, we'd love to hear from you. If you reach out to us or the team, we can give you all the details. Or if you're on our email database, you're going to get an email in the next day or two to give you some more information about it as well. But we'd love you to join us. Come spend 2 hours with us. We'll help you workshop what a business with you off the tools can look like. And you off the tools is whatever version works for you.
Mm.
Many of our trade business owners still enjoy some time on the tools. And so lots of our clients still have regular time doing what they love the most. But it also gives them the opportunity to create the freedom that most business owners are looking for. So if you're interested, give us a shout. We'd love to spend some time with you.
Come and see us. Stop abdicating. And I think my final point is, if you do an honest assessment of how you are interacting with some of the people who you feel are letting you down, if you're feeling like you're blaming them for not doing what they're supposed to be doing, in inverted commas, that's a pretty good sign that you've been abdicating. So if you're blaming your marketing company or your accountant or your team member or your partner, your spouse, for not doing what they're supposed to do, maybe check yourself, go have a look in the mirror, and just ask yourself, have you been abdicating or delegating properly? And then come to the Paco if you're in Melbourne, and we'll give you a slap around the head and teach you how to delegate.
That makes it sound really attractive, I'm sure.
I know. And I'm wearing a flannel as we record this too, so it's really attractive.
As long as it's not a wife beater, I think we're in.
I got that okay. Underneath the flannel. Thanks for listening.
Hooray.